Hello, fam. I'm so happy to be back with you guys after the new year. I took a little time off to rest, which is so important on our spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I just want to welcome back all of our cherished supporters. Thank you for tuning in to Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I just hope you guys are ready to delve into more topics this year that uplift our communities and really nurture our spiritual growth. You know, we're going to tap into some things this year that, you know, I think it's going to be mind-blowing. It's going to be taboo in some, you know, people's minds, and it's going to be eye-opening. But, you know, I know I have to follow my calling and do what it is that I'm guided to do here. So I'm really excited this year. We're not holding any punches. I want you guys to please remember that your ongoing support and donations are invaluable. And I encourage each of you to continue to contribute to this mission of light and love. And we also encourage you all to donate to FundraisingCup.org Ministries. You can do so online or you can do so over the phone, whichever is your preference, and support those in need internationally as well. Okay.
Amen.
Guys, you already know that the red carpet is near. We have our brother Thomas back with us again. What a blessing. Happy New Year. How have you been, Brother Thomas?
Well, you know what, Jewel? This is the, I think they call this the Year of Jubilee. And also I believe that this is the year 2025, and you know what, I am about seven. So 2 and 5 is 7. So apparently there's going to be some spiritual things going on in this year, and we're already starting to see them. And I mean, you know, it's going political, it's going spiritual, it's going health wise. The whole thing is just coming to a head. And that's why I think this year of Jubilee is supposed to happen. And it's supposed to be something, with the alignment of the planets. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's supposed to happen, I think, on actually the 20th. All of the planets are going to align in one line. Now, who knows what that's going to do? We have no way of knowing. We don't know if that's going to split our earth in two or whatever, but, you know, we got to get prepared for it. You know that God's wrath is out there, and you know that he's definitely got his plan of what he's going to do to this earth for the evilness that has been rampant for so many 2,000 years. And so, you know, time is up. And I'm just wondering if these alignment of these planets is going to have anything to do with a gravitational pull that's just going to pull us which ways. And I don't know. So again, all we can do is just gather ourselves, our thoughts, pray without ceasing, and just get prepared.
Absolutely. Those of you who do not know, I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Thomas, because I know as we were leading into 2025, many of our followers were probably wondering why we were so celebratory and mm-hmm. so confident that this was going to be a groundbreaking year. And Brother Thomas hit the nail on his head. This is the Jubilee year. And those of you who do not know, it's the anniversary of the incarnation of our Lord. It's a great spiritual and social significance in the life
mm-hmm.
of the church. And, you know, you guys could do your own research on it, but it's definitely a time of celebration. We're
mm-hmm.
all being called back.
And well, Jewel, you know what else it is? It's kind of interesting. This, it's the year of Jubilee, but it's also the age of Aquarius.
It is. It is. Oh my goodness, it's a lot going on this year, guys.
So, age of Aquarius. If you're thinking about, I'm thinking about, you know, the musical that came out about Jesus, but it was the age of Aquarius, the song Aquarius. You know, apparently Aquarius has a lot to do with people who study the planets. And apparently that's somewhat of a dark side, but Aquarius is basically, it's a whole new, something that we kind of not really looking forward to, but it's here. And so we can get caught up in it. It's almost like, I'm thinking Aquarius, to me it sounds like flower children. You know, I mean, they're out psychedelic-wise and into drugs and all this other kind of stuff. And I guess that's what we are doing. I mean, if you look at it that way, we're on some kind of drugs that it's just basically it's twisting us, our minds, I guess the frequencies. I think Aquarius has a lot to do with frequency as well.
Yes, yes. Well, I think we're the age of Aquarius kind of began in 2024. So
yeah. It
like I said, it's just a lot happening all at once, and it's definitely revolutionary. And I think which brings
and I would say not only revolutionary but revelationary. Revelation.
Well, that's true. That is absolutely true. And I think it brings us into today's topic, guys, which I'm so excited about. And it's Wounded Warriors Rising Like the Sun. That is the topic for today. And what I love so much about today's topic is, well, one, the play on words with the sun, the rising sun, as in rising of the actual sun outdoors, and rising of the sun in the year of Jubilee. So it's just a perfect topic for this new year. And many of us have been wounded severely, and we're rising out of it. And, you know, I think today's reading and the breakdown of the reading is going to bring everything full circle of what we talked about last year, how all of it is just comes together and just makes sense. Don't you agree, Brother Thomas?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I guess we didn't really see the focus until the focus was here in front of us. I mean, you know, our eyes, the veil was lifted, and some of us, the veil was lifted sooner, some were later. But, you know, when you are in the light, you cannot go back to the darkness. You cannot. And so those that are in the light, they need to shine, and they need to make sure that they try to bring other people into the light. And so that's our task, and that's what we're doing with the podcast.
Absolutely. And I want to congratulate all of my fellow chosen, targeted brothers and sisters that made it to this new year, this new level. By now, all of you must have mastered detachment, whether it's detachment from your family members, your friends, your jobs, just letting go and letting God. That is a huge step in mastering oneself.
Amen.
And, you know, kind of growing through some of those close betrayals that you all had to go through in the last season, and demonstrating self-love on epic levels. I'm so proud of you guys for making it to this point in our spiritual journey together with us. So I want to applaud you guys that made it to 2025, because it was heavy. These last
years
have for a lot of us. And
I think heavy actually started, Jewel. You know, I really think heavy started in 2020.
For some, it's been a 10-year journey, 5 for others, and some have been, this has been going on for up till 15 or 20. I mean, it really just depends on how quick some of us were able to learn these lessons and to let go, because that was the toughest part of the journey, is that knowing these people are betraying you and you have to let go of their hands.
Right.
They've made their decisions.
Right.
They've taken the 30 pieces of silver to sell you out, and you have to let them go their separate ways.
Yeah.
And it's tough. You know, for some people, I know, Brother Thomas, we talked through our journeys, and, you know, some of us, you know, we let go a long time ago. Others, it's hard because we have these bonds, and the enemy knows that, and that's what he uses to weaken us, which is what we're going to talk about, what happened.
Well,
to
and
two,
you know, if you're looking at the journeys of us as a society, as a country, you realize what was going on in 2015. And so the focus then was, mainly people were saying, you know, I don't have nobody to speak for me, the common man. And so that's one reason why things changed and why, you know, we went a whole different direction and everyone was going, oh, he's such a breath of fresh air and all this kind of stuff. And so we went through that. And then here and all of a sudden we get attacked with COVID. And I mean, I don't think I've ever lived through anything like that, nor do I ever want to live through anything like that ever again. I did not want to sign up for this task of this vaccine, but I was forced into it. So, you know, I'm still living with it. And, you know, people, those of you that know my story, you can relate. And those of you that have very similar stories, I feel for you. I feel your pain. And, you know, we were dealt a bad hand. We really were.
Yeah.
We did not ask for this. We didn't ask for this assignment. No. But we've been given it. And those of us who have survived it are actually being a beacon of light for those who are somewhat still going through the darkness, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm just saying, I'm just a simple messenger. I give a simple message. I have a simple prayer. And God gives me the task of doing what I do. So if you know about me, if you know about what I'm doing now, it's all because of God. I give God all the glory. I don't want any kind of recognition. I don't want the light shined on me because I don't deserve it. You know, God's the one that deserves all of this. Amen, amen.
Amen. And I know it's really been an uphill battle for all of us with like, Brother Thomas pointed out, with COVID being lumped on top of the repeated setups from families and friends, financial loss, theft, poisoning, spiritual warfare, illegal stalking, energy weapons, just attack after attack for our destiny and inheritance from God. But, you know, again, we pushed through and survived it all to live another day and to tell our stories, which is just amazing. And Brother Thomas and I felt the perfect scripture to align with us rising out of this darkness. It was the story of Samson and Delilah. And many of us read this memorable story as a child. But now as adults, that we take a closer look.
It's a whole new meaning.
It has a whole new meaning and of how it even relates to many of our own stories today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've gathered 10 takeaways that I really want, I think will hit home and kind of bring everything round circle from all of the messages that we shared over the year.
Yeah.
And also identify how, although Samson had his moments of weakness, he's really a true hero of faith that rose from the ashes as well. He was a warrior rising. And I'm so excited because there is so much to break down here symbolically and contextually. On a side note, Brother Thomas, I learned that Samson was from the Israelite tribe of Dan. And I believe you traced some of your lineage to that tribe of Dan as well. Is that correct, Brother Thomas?
You know, I'm thinking it may be Dan. Who knows? You know, I'm not gone through and done any kind of, you know, DNA test thing. All I've been able to
do
is...
And I don't recommend it.
Right. I don't either. And I'm thinking... You got to go through a spiritual journey. So if you want to know where your tribe is, ask God. I mean, he's going to tell you, or he'll give you, reveal it to you somehow. You'll feel a drawing of, for some reason. You'll see that, you know, and I do feel like because of the fact that I, you know, am not a, that skin color, whatever, that of a tribe, but they apparently the tribes themselves had different skin colors. They did.
True.
And even though they were all under the Israeli type of umbrella, it's still, they were tribes of God. And so they all had some connection, you know, those 12 tribes. Really, there's supposed to be 13. But, so the one that's not talked about as much, and I'll say this, is the tribe of Dan. Jewel, they don't talk a lot about them. Not a lot about them.
Well, Brother Thomas, we're going to talk about them today because Samson is from that tribe, and he's having his time in the spotlight today with you reading today's scripture taken from Judges 16. Would you mind opening up that scripture for us?
Oh, I certainly will. And, of course, you know, it's 16, y'all, so 1 plus 6 is a 7, so here we go. But I was reading something here, Jewel, and it's very interesting. You know, we're talking about right now, did they not just sign a peace in Gaza?
They did.
I think
yes,
they did.
Yes, they did.
Well, this is saying right here, and that just threw me here because I did not know this about Samson. It says, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place, and they lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until the morning light, then we will kill him. Now Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose, and he took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts, and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain, which is opposite Hebron. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Soek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him, and see where his great strength lies, how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Ha, huh, there we go, silver. So Delilah, why not gold? Why is it silver? So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where you get your strength from. And he said, well, how you may be bound to afflict you. Now, I don't understand this. So anyway, Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in the inner room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of tow snapped when it touches fire. So his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me tightly with new ropes, which have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, for the men were lying in wait in the inner room. But he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave 7 locks of my hair with the web and fasten it with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair, wove them into the web, and she fastened it with a pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times now, have not told me where your great strength is. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. He told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength shall leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines and said, come on once more, for he has told me all that is in him. Then the lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. And she made him sleep on his knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out at the other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god. Ooh, interesting. And to rejoice for what they said. Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, call for Samson, that he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all of the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged at the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years.
Wow. You know, Brother Thomas, this one scripture here has so much depth to dissect. And I identified at least 10 takeaway points, but there's so much more. Even just every time I hear it over again, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of time, we're going to focus on the 10. And, mm-hmm. One of the first things I wanted to bring up was the symbolism in the names, that we see here. You know, back in biblical times, there was a great deal of effort was given in choosing a name for a child. And
mm-hmm.
the name Samson in the Bible means child of the sun or little son. It comes from the Hebrew word shemesh, which means sun. This was like our topic, like the rising sun. And I think the land in which he was from was also defined as the home of the sun, as well as the Hebrew meaning of Delilah, which was interesting to me, was defined as languishing. I didn't understand exactly what that word meant, so I checked my Webster's dictionary here and was surprised that languishing meant to become weak or feeble, to waste away, to exist in miserable and disheartening conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was funny because when we were having an exchange about these the symbolism in these names, Brother Thomas said to me, well, why would anybody name their daughter Delilah then if it means to waste away and to exist in miserable and disheartening conditions? It almost seems like a setup for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I chuckled, right, Brother Thomas, and I said to
mm-hmm.
You know, back in those times, and even in some places in Africa, because I have African friends that have really interesting names, that they still kind of continue this tradition, where they
mm-hmm.
name their children based on the current circumstances that
mm-hmm.
the families are going through. So it's
mm-hmm.
very likely that
mm-hmm.
Delilah's family was going through a time where she was born into where they felt like it was a difficult time and it was wasting away, and she was born
mm-hmm.
into that time. And so they gave her that name, Delilah,
mm-hmm.
to as a memory of what they were going through during that period
mm-hmm.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, or ironically enough, her name kind of lived on to waste away at Samson's life and his calling, ironically. So it was definitely interesting to see how even names at that time were played out to the T of what was happening then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
also a reminder for us to think about what we name our children, because
yes.
it can come to pass. What are your thoughts on that, Brother Thomas?
Well, no, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, that's what I was thinking of. I don't know of many people who name their child, even to this day, Delilah. Although it sounds pretty, it's a pretty name. But they know the connotation with the name Delilah. And I don't think they want to have that labeled, their child, to grow up like a Delilah. I don't think any parent wants to do that, to be somebody who's a temptress, who's somebody who deceives people. I don't think any parent wants their child to be that way. I don't think so. And so, you know, and then you're thinking Samson. Well, Samson sounds like he's bold, you know. And so I think Samson, a lot of people call them, when they call their son Sam, it means Samson. It means, you know, Samuel. But again, it's strength. And so you're thinking that you did got the different connotation here. You've got Delilah being languishing, weak, and you've got Samson being strong. So if people are looking for names for, I guess, boys, you know, Sam is a strong name. Samson is another strong name. He will always go down in history as a strength, a man who did do what God intended for him to do, and that was destroy the Philistines. And he did it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think another point that can be made here was how the pride became...
Pride goeth before a fall.
You know, came before his fall, and the consequences of straying from God's path with the covenant made outside of God's will. You know, in this story of Samson and Delilah, it can be interpreted as a cautionary tale about the dangers of falling in love with someone who doesn't share your values.
Well, you know, I look at it that way, but I also look at Samson being very arrogant, and he really was, because he knew
was.
His strength, and he knew it came from God, but... He said, you know, and God was basically saying, you know, you need to protect that strength. You know, you don't need to be airing your dirty laundry and airing this stuff out and telling people. And so, you know, but Samson thought he was indestructible. He really did.
Yeah.
And he thought, you know, and then when he realized, you know, that last thing that he did, it said, you know, oops, God's not listening to me right now. Hoo-hoo. Well, I'm going to get it. So he did. And so they came and they bound him and they gouged out his eyes, and I'm going, okay, how are you going to come back from that one? And he did. he realized in the end, he says, you know what? I still have the task at hand. They brought me out of prison. I will get somebody to help me lean up against the pillars, and I know how the structure is set up, and I will ask God to give me the strength just one more time, and that I will die with these people because I deserve to die because I took the Lord's name. I took the Lord's, you know, gift, and I didn't treat it right. And there are plenty of people these days, Jewel, who have been given a gift, and they've tossed it aside. And, you know, God gives you that gift. And if
Absolutely.
You toss it aside, it's hard to get it back, I'm telling you. Very hard.
Or they choose to use the gift for their own selfish gain.
Yes.
And forget about how much it impacts their families, the communities,
right.
The Philistines. He only cared about, you know, his own pride of you know, look at me, look at all the power I have. Yeah, that was
right.
A gift that was given to you. You know, we
yeah.
talked about this in prior podcasts that many chosen have different gifts. And I talked
yeah.
to you about the dreamers, the seers, the those that have strong intuition,
mm-hmm.
those that can, you know,
mm-hmm.
just a myriad of different gifts. And we all
mm-hmm.
have choices, right? Whether we're going to use those gifts for light or dark, whether we decide that we think we're so powerful because of these gifts that we go to the dark side and puff up our chest and say, hey, move me up in the rank of your secret society because I have this gift and I think I'm bigger than life. No,
yeah.
that's not what God intended for us to do.
And that's what Samson did. You know, he took it for granted. He said, you know, well, God gave me this power and I can have it forever. And, you know, I can still do things and I can limit. I can say this did this and this makes me lose this and whatever. But God in the end is going to be right there with me. And that he overstepped his bounds. He did things. He stepped out of it and he realized in the end, he says, oh, crap, I done this
yeah.
now. And so
yeah.
then he's going, but I got to redeem myself. And the redemption came
yes.
when, you know, he was given the opportunity to entertain all of the crowd. And basically they were saying, look at him. He's blind. He can't do anything. It's not a big deal. We don't have to really watch him. We don't have to pay attention to him that much. We can look at him as just being
yeah.
like a clown.
Yeah.
And because,
him.
You know, he was so
yeah.
great. Yeah, he was such a great man, and now he's not, you know. So beware of what you look at, because, again, those that may be seeming feeble can be very strong.
Yes, that is a valid point. The other thing I want to drive home that I don't think is emphasized enough is
mm-hmm.
is how careful we need to be when choosing a spouse, because
yeah.
it can be fatal. Right?
Yeah.
He fell in love with this Philistine woman who did not believe in the God he served.
No.
I mean, let's think about it. This is not the first time this has happened in Scripture. We've heard
yeah.
this before in with Solomon, and
well,
God
and
warned
yes,
them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, Jewel, I think I can say this pretty strongly. The Philistines, didn't they turn into Palestine? Did they not?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard, that Palestine and Gaza, and this is mentioning Gaza here, so we're dealing with Gaza and Palestine right now. So you're looking at what happened years ago is still coming to the forefront, because, again,
yeah.
who's attacking Palestine? Israel.
Israel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, it's not the Israel we know of. It's a Zionist Israel, but still, you know, we're all supportive of them. We go over and we give them our men, and then we give them our money, and we give them our talents, and what happens with it, you know? And then we forget about our people here. And I wish that we would stop this. You know, I wish that we would just look inward. Deal with your own house first before you go out and try to mess with somebody else's.
Yes, a valid point. You know, Samson, he treated his wife poorly. They didn't really touch on it a lot, but Samson had a wife prior to being interested in this Philistine woman. I believe he also slept with a prostitute and,
mm-hmm.
and took a mistress.
Sounds very modern day, Jewel. Very modern day.
It does. I was going to point that out, that this you know, is still happening today. And, you know, Samson did not appreciate the gifts. You know, a lot of men don't realize this, but, you know, when God gives you a wife, that's a gift.
You should cherish her.
You should cherish her. This is your helpmate. You know, you should not be influenced by others
right.
to see her other than that gift that's given
to you. Of
course,
you know, I will say this, Jewel. In that day, a lot of the things, marriages were arranged marriages, which means that they didn't
they
have
were.
A chance to get to know the person. But what it meant
yeah.
also is that when they did do that and they took the person to their marriage bed, then they made an agreement, a compromise. They made a contract that no matter
yeah.
what that they would do, they would always support each other. They would never let family
mm-hmm.
interfere. Family would never be taking it, you know, be stepping in and running the show. Because they, in turn, when you have two people that come together as one, that's what the marriage is all about. It's about a contract. It's about an agreement. It's about compromising. It's about realizing that I need to make this other person happy. Because if they're happy, I will be happy. And it's an old saying,
yeah.
happy life, happy wife. It's the truth. So, I mean, if your wife is not happy, you're going to feel it. You're going to know it.
Yeah.
And then vice versa, the woman has to make the man happy, you know. She has to make sure that he feels appreciated, because a lot of times he doesn't feel appreciated in this world. He feels like,
yeah.
you know, people are on him, and she's supposed to be the one that at nighttime to say, honey, it's this way, and you know
yeah.
I love you, and I'm supportive of you, and it don't matter what those big old bad people tell about you when you go to work. You realize when you come back, I'm right here, and my smile
yes.
will always be here, and I'm devoted to you. That's what it's supposed
absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely. Yes, and you are the king of this castle.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Brother Thomas. And, on the contrary, living with a partner who is foolish, vindictive, or just not following God will affect our lives in ways that we
amen.
Don't expect. While most
I've
of us,
lived that one.
Hopefully,
yeah.
while most of us, hopefully, Brother Thomas, won't fall in love with partners who conspire to have us killed, we
right.
can all benefit by being careful about the partners we choose. Make sure they're equally yoked with you in your faith.
Well, you know, I'm
going to
say something. I think something that needs to be said here is, you know, the old saying, love is blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the truth
yeah.
in that, because if you're so in love with a person, you don't see their faults. You don't see
no.
the telltale signs.
No.
You don't see the red flags. You know, you're overlooked.
It's so
you
true.
Say, yeah. You seem
you
to think, you know, well, they'll change. And that's the big mistake, is where you know
yeah.
what the person is. You know what they're like. You knew he was a snake, okay? So why?
Yeah.
Why do you think he's going to change? Just because you tell him to? No. You can't. A zebra don't change his stripes. So if you go out with
he
a
has.
Zebra, you realize he's going to be a zebra, you know? So,
exactly.
You know, beware what you ask for. Beware what you seek. And I'll say this. A lot of times what we do is we favor those that are been abusive in our own families. And I don't understand
mm-hmm.
that, but it's the truth. We're drawn to them. It's like, okay, we got a chance to make this one better. And so
mm-hmm.
we do. But realize this, if they were this way when you dated them, and also there's another saying, you date who you marry.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you so beware
yeah.
of who you date. So if you date somebody who was a womanizer, and you just think that you've got able to turn their heads and you've got to turn them away from it, do you think that's going to change his nature? No, it's not.
No.
It's not.
No.
If he was a
no.
womanizer when you dated him, he's going to be a womanizer when you're married to him. So face that fact. And I'll tell you, a
yeah,
lot of women, and I'm talking about the Korean culture, a lot of the Korean women, Jewel, here's what they do. As long as he brings the bread home, they don't care. Okay? Because
yeah.
as long as
yeah.
he brings the bread home and they stay in their status in society, that's all that matters to them. They can overlook his, you know, yes, wandering yes, eye. That, you know, yes. they look at what he's doing, because at the end of the day, she's the mistress. She'll never be the wife.
Exactly. And a lot of cultures, it's the same way, Thomas. People, they have their minds on the silver, and they don't have their minds on the actual gift that God has given them, whether it's the man, the woman. I think many women, even in my past, you know, we tend to see the potential in individuals. We tend to date.
You
want to
see the good in everybody, or if you can bring the good out in somebody, that's the goal.
You see the Samson in them before they become the Samson, or you see the Solomon in them before they become the Solomon. But ultimately, if they are not there, you have to accept that. You have to accept that they are not choosing the path.
Well, you know, it's something else that I've always heard, and maybe this is just the First Baptist Church way, but they used to say to us, they say, don't date a woman who's not a Christian. Don't date a man who's not a Christian. Because if you think you're going to change that person, and you know that when you married them they weren't a Christian, good luck with that. Good luck with that, because it's going to be a hard road to hoe.
And granted, some people wear a mask, which, you know, adds a whole nother layer
the deception.
And deception. Where you're like, well, they, you know, they claim to be a Christian. They got up, they got saved in front of me. I thought
they say they're religious. That's a good one. Oh, I'm religious.
Yeah.
Explain that religious. Is that a small C or a big C?
Yeah. Good point, Brother Thomas. Good point. And I hope we drove this home for many people that are kind of maybe in relationships and wrestling with what they have seen with those rose-colored glasses are not matching up to who's lying.
And they'll feel the tensions. They will, and that's the thing. So even though there's tensions, y'all should come together as one and talk it out. And a lot of times what it is families trying to influence. They really are. They're trying to say, you know, he's not in the right kind of business right now, and you need to try to steer him in this, and she's feeling pressured. And he's feeling pressured, and he's going, I give up on this, and, you know, but instead they should say, you know, my family says this, but I say that. And so I trust you, and we're going to get through this. And that's the whole thing. There's got to be this give and take. It can't be you have two trees. Yeah. Here's another analogy. In a marriage, you have two trees, okay? Mm-hmm. They should grow right beside each other. Okay? Not one tree overshadows another one. Because when that happens, when another one is overbearing or whatever, it makes the other one wilt. Okay? Because it can't get the life. But, and then what needs to happen is your two trees are growing together, and what eventually happens, they intertwine and grow together as one tree.
Yeah.
That's your true marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's your true marriage. When you have two individuals, and we are two individuals that come together as one, because you have your family values, he has his family values, you don't know, you know, at the end, but it's a compromise, and when you agree that you're going to disagree, that's true, but you're not going to go to bed angry, you're going to solve the problem before you go to bed, and then you're going to get up the next morning, and it's a whole new day. And so you don't harp on things in the past, and that's another thing. A lot of people would bring up things in the past. My wife would do that.
Yeah.
She's like an elephant. Yeah. She brings up things that were years ago, and it's like, bam, here she is right back again with it. And you can only take so much, people. And you know, damn me once, damn me twice, you know, but Jesus, you know, get over it. And that's the thing.
It's
some
like
people can't get over it. They can't.
It's like opening a wound, right?
So it's
like
salt in the wound.
You kind of scratch off this bandage and keep on digging in this wound. Let it heal.
You know, in other words, and what you have to do is whenever, and it says in the scripture too, it says, husband, cling to thy wife. Wife, honor your husband.
Your husband.
You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to forsake your family. In other words, when you go and you separate, set up your own home, you forget your family.
Yes.
They are not the important ones anymore. The important one is the one that you're spending your time with.
Your spouse.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Brother Thomas. Notice Brother Thomas said, cling to your wife. The scripture did not say, phone a friend. Or, you know, in that game show, do you want to phone a friend and get their opinion?
Uh-huh.
It did not say, get an entire vote of your family members and how they feel about the situation.
Yeah, and see how, it's like, do you agree or disagree? Okay, I'll go with whoever has the most disagrees or has the most agrees. That's wrong.
No, this is not a game show. This is not, this is real life. You have a family that is relying on the two of you to come to a common agreement for the betterment of that union.
Well, especially if there's children involved, Jules. My God, if there are children involved, then you forsake everything. You know,
it's not fair.
You got to make sure that the family unit stays together.
Yes.
In spite of it, and that's what I did. I stayed in the marriage 29 years. I did, and I shouldn't have, but I did. I did it.
Great.
And I'm glad in the end that I did do it because I held my head up high. I don't have any reason to be ashamed for anything that I did because I stayed in a loveless marriage. And I did it for my children. That was the ultimate sacrifice. And when a parent can say that, you've done it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for many, no one wants to just fully walk away without knowing it's been...
if you can reconcile it, you know, there's some people, the couples have been able, they fall out of love, and then all of a sudden they realize, damn, I had it good when it was this person, and they come back together. There are people that do that. And they're stronger the next time around, you know? They don't give up. And that's the thing of it in these days and times, Jewel, it's too damn easy to get a divorce.
It is easy. But at the same token, if you're dealing with anyone like a Delilah, I wouldn't recommend trying it again. I think Samson did not learn his lesson, and he kept on, you know, not taking heed to the dangers of this woman is going to kill you. You're playing with fire. She keeps on trying to find your vulnerabilities to harm you. You have to see the red flag. So I just wanted to point that out. And I know, you know, Brother Thomas and I we're not marriage counselors, and although I know many of you feel like we are like spot on because we have both been married and understand the trials and tribulations that come with it, but we want to point out the lessons from the Bible that can be taken and applied in all marriages. But with that said, I'm going to move on to this next point, which really kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, and I don't know if any of you guys picked up on it, but it's basically to watch what the enemy is giving you to consume and to protect your crown at all times. Don't get tricked out of your spot. So I say that because... you know, when the rulers in Philistine came to Delilah and offered her this silver that seems to keep coming up in scripture, right, Brother Thomas? All these people.
I know. It's like 30 pieces of silver. That's why I said to Jewel, I said, why not gold? Gold is more valuable than silver. Why is it silver? It's like silver's a set down.
Well, actually, you know what? Silver is underrated because silver has a lot of health benefits. To our bodies, that's not really shared with us. I know that some people actually wear silver on their body.
It's got a lot of healing properties. Silver has healing properties. It does.
It has healing properties, more so than I think gold, even copper as well. But it's, you know.
Oh yeah, it's copper, most definitely. I got a like a water container, and what I've understood by this is that if you put water into this copper container and you drink it, it's much more medicinally healing for you. So those of you who've got copper, if you've got a copper mug or something, drink your water out of it. It changes the compost, the composite of the whatever you're drinking. It changes it. Mm-hmm. It purifies it. Copper. In other words, I also think something about, you know, when they had, Jesus had handed out the, you know, doing the Last Supper, and he said, here, take the wine. It was a copper mug, a copper bowl that he then passed around for people to drink from. Copper apparently has a way of like solidifying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, with silver, a lot of people didn't realize this, but back in the day when people actually used real silverware, many of them didn't get as sick as those who didn't use actual silver.
Really? So if we had kept with silver instead of changing to good old stainless steel, we'd been a whole lot healthier.
Yes, yes.
Dang it.
The people don't realize that. And the thing about silver, I actually have copper bracelets, but I know from a friend who wears silver bracelets, actual silver bracelets, she told me that she was able to tell when she was getting sick because the silver would either change a color on her bracelets right before she came down with an illness, and they would fall off of her body, almost like it repelled the illness. So,
you know, something I thought of, Jewel, if you think about it, indigenous tribes. So I'm thinking of, like, when we went to New Mexico. When we went to New Mexico, we saw them, and they did turquoise, and they did silver. That's the jewelry.
Yep.
Now, there's something to that. It wasn't gold.
Really?
There was the silver.
It was the silver. I think gold is pretty to our eyes, of course. Everyone likes to look at gold.
But I think the silver is the stronger one. It's the stronger bond.
There's something to silver and copper, the least costly metals, believe it or not, that actually have more health benefits to us that we may need to research a little bit more. But I want to talk about your crown, because I didn't spend a lot of time talking about it last year, but I think I touched on it a little bit, and the pineal gland, and the importance of protecting your crown. You know, in a lot of other cultures, Muslim, Jewish, we often see that the women, especially, always have a head covering. And this is not really taught to us in Christianity, and the importance of protecting your head, your crown, your hair, which is very important, because a lot of times when people attack you spiritually, they attack your crown first.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of your
mental abilities there.
Abilities come from. You know, they literally drive you insane, right? If you know, spiritually. And doctors wouldn't be able to figure out what's wrong with this person. Everything seems fine, but they just, you know, they just lost all cognitive mental ability.
Well, and that's what comes into MK Ultra. What I found out about them, these people, they actually walk around with foil hats on, because they're thinking that they're being bombarded in their heads. And so they're telling people this, and the people say, you seem normal, but you're one to walk around with foil on your head. Why? It's crazy.
Well,
but they feel that way.
No, they're not crazy. Let's break this down a little bit. And I think at one point, Thomas, you had talked to me personally about covering our phones with foil, right?
Yes, that's what they're saying. Exactly. Like the cell phones. Because of the 5G phones that everybody has, that apparently you should not fall asleep with them next to you, because in your sleep, they're actually sending radio waves, frequency, and it's affecting your mind. And so when you get up the next morning, your whole focus is different, because you have been bombarded with these thoughts, subconsciously, these thoughts are coming into your mind, and it takes over yourself. It takes over your being. And so if you will block your phone out with aluminum foil, they can't get to you.
Well, similarly, that's the point that I'm trying to make. Those that have been involuntarily placed into these MK Ultra testing programs, they are using the same premise where they're trying to protect their minds with that same foil.
Yeah,
so that's what's going on there. With why they're using that particular resource to guard their crown. And we just have to be mindful of what's happening around us. I mean, I know it's easy to pass judgment and say this person is not well, this person is sick, you know, they need to be...
Don't judge a book by its cover. You know what I'm saying?
No,
don't judge a book by its cover.
There's things going on behind the scene, hidden hands.
Right, that you have no clue.
Involuntary testing where people have sold their families out for that same piece of silver, ladies and gentlemen. And they're just trying to protect
their crown. The energy weapons, yes, exactly.
Yes, yes, they're trying to protect their crowns from what's being sent towards them. And 2 points I want to bring home just in local news that recently happened that made me think about this a little bit was when I think we spoke about it in the last podcast. I don't know, Brother Thomas and I speak very frequently, but we spoke about those two former military men that...
Yes, they're both in the same fort. Yeah, they were both in the same fort.
Yes.
Fort Smith or something like that, I can't remember.
Fort. And what exactly did they do where I said, Brother Thomas, that sounds like a little bit of MKUltra going on.
Yes, I think it was. Basically, they were programmed, and if you all remember the Manchurian Candidate, if you watch the movie Manchurian Candidate, that's all about MKUltra. And the Manchurian Candidate was a phenomenal movie. I recommend you watch it, either the old one or the new one, either one. But it really brings it to home that these men were programmed. And they were basically put under drugs intervention, or also they were doing with lighting. They were doing with now the newer model of the Manchurian Candidate. They did it with video, and so they would shoot these videos of them, and then they would show a bad person, and then they would do another video, and they show a bad person, and so then they started relating to this is a bad person in their mind. It was just a way of sculpting their mind. And then they were given a key word or a key phrase. And this key word, key phrase, whenever they heard it, went ding. It's like they went hypnosis. And they were they were hypnotized. And then they went and did what they were told to do in that hypnotic state.
Yes.
And they never would have done it otherwise.
And I said, you know, what happened there sound very much like they were under some type of hypnotic state, and whatever triggered them set them off to do the same thing at the same time in different areas.
Yes.
That's what immediately jumped out at me, and I mentioned that to Thomas. Again, these things are happening behind the scenes, and it's, you know, we can't be quick to judge and not realize that things are happening. That,
right, and this person was in the military. Both of them were in the military. You said both of them were in the military, and so they're going, this seems a little strange that they're in the military, and then that other guy that did on the golf course, you know, him, he found out he was in the military, that he'd gone to Ukraine and was trying to recruit people. So, you know, and you're going, huh? So you're thinking, how are these people all related? Well, it could very well be that, you know, we do have assassins out there. The CIA has created this MK Ultra assassins, and they go and they do the dirty work. And then when they get finished doing the dirty work, usually they kill themselves.
Unfortunately.
Or they're programmed. They're like a computer. They're a robot.
They're labeled as insane and placed into mental institutions where they're possibly tortured even more. So there's just a lot going on. And
it's very sad because usually these men that have been in these programs were really good men.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask for this to happen. They were simply here, we got a new program. We want you to volunteer for it. They had no idea.
They were voluntold. You know, it's funny because in recent news, I think just yesterday, I came across an interview
that was done by Wendy Williams. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Yeah, she freaked out.
She shook up a lot of a lot of people with a lot of truths and so forth that she would just tell without
right out there in the open. I mean, she had no filter, none.
She didn't have a filter, and part of it became her demise, because when you start speaking on certain people and topics without a covering from God, it can...
Well, that's what happened to her. Basically, they shunned her, and all these things that she was, you know... It turned out that they said that she's the one that that twisted everything. She twisted the story. No, she didn't. She knew what she was talking about. It's just that they got one step or two steps ahead of her. And when they did that, they undermined her. And then she was like a blithering idiot. And then her health failed. So there were so many things going on with her. If you noticed that, if you did that interview, did you see her eyes? I mean, she looked deranged.
Yes, but I want to tell you something. She just had an interview that came out within the last 48 hours, Thomas, and this woman is fine. They have her locked up in some type of institution where she's only given a phone and it has no internet.
That's bad.
People can't call her. But if you hear her talk, she's very much coherent. Nothing like the video that we saw of her. Where she had
eyes like frog eyes. I mean, it was just horrible.
Yeah.
She was bug eyed. It's just like, what happened to you? You know?
They played us into this narrative, and a lot of it has to do with what we consume. And I've emphasized this enough, is that we have to be very careful what we're taking.
You think she was poisoned?
I do believe she was poisoned, yes.
Oh. I do
believe she was poisoned. And her
that makes sense, then.
Very quickly after she was poisoned. And it was.
So she went downhill fast. I mean,
See, that's the thing, Thomas. Wendy Williams spoke about much of what we speak about today, but she named names that were highly, highly ranked in the Masonic.
Well, she spoke out about P. Diddy. Surely did. And then that came back to haunt her.
Before it came to pass that the things that she's saying clearly is coming out in the news today.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, I think she underestimated his reach or
I think what it was, really, she thought she had a stronger backing. Then she realized what she found out was that he had the money behind him. And so basically they said, okay, we're going to set you up. You know what? And so they did. And so basically they gave her information that was not true. She didn't realize it. And then, you know, it undermined her. And then they felt like her credibility was shot. And that's what they did. The perception was that her credibility was not there, but it's not true.
No. It was very much there, and my heart goes out to her because,
She was trying to do the right thing, Jewel. She was really trying to do the right thing.
But the thing is, it wasn't grounded in God, right?
And no, it wasn't.
It
was in money.
She
thought that she had the backing. She thought that she had the people that were going to be backing her. That she didn't think she was going to have people stab her in the back, and she did.
You can't serve two masters, right?
No.
So if you're going to do the right thing because God calls you to do the right thing, and he tells you that it's time to reveal the things that are being...
Now, didn't something come out, Jewel... Didn't something come out about her son? Did her son commit suicide or something?
No, he's alive. I think he can use a
or some kind of drug problem. Or was it her husband? I don't remember. There's something going on with her. She was in an abusive relationship or something like that.
Well, here's the thing, and this is just my opinion because I don't know her personally. I don't know her husband personally. But her story hit very close to home for me because I totally understand, how things can happen in marriages and so forth. But Wendy when she did what she did, and I don't know if she consulted with her spouse before she started revealing some of these
truths,
Masonic secrets that, that were going on, but she also put him at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many people immediately looked at him for abandoning her in her weakest state. But it's important for us to realize that when we make these decisions, especially if we have a calling from God, and when it's not guided by financial gain, it's a true, genuine calling.
Right.
Whether or not whether or not you get paid, whether or not the
mm-hmm.
websites are showing you have a certain amount
mm-hmm.
of followers,
mm-hmm.
you're just moving forward on your calling. That's
right.
Totally different than saying these things to gain financial wealth, right?
Exactly.
Totally different.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And in Wendy's case, she said some things that may in fact have been true from what we're seeing in the media play out today, but she was doing it for financial gain. And
yep.
she compromised her family when she did it because when the attack came on, the retaliation, she thought she had it, because that's the
mm-hmm.
thing. You may have the money, but they have a very tight-knit network.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about this last year, where we talk about these people being in all walks of life that you would least expect.
Well, yeah, and I think she didn't realize the tentacles were as long as they were.
No, you have no idea, because I think many people would be surprised how many people are not working.
Will be there to do it, to stab you in the back,
and
take the glory. Yeah.
Joining these groups for clout, and we'll sell you out for a little piece of
And
clout.
I really think a lot of it with her, there was jealousy. People did not like her rise to fame.
Right around her.
Uh-huh.
She didn't see it. And by the time she seen it, it was too late. And I keep emphasizing, you know, these are the people that can harm you the most. These are the people that can put stuff in your food. These are people that you know, you send out to get you a cup of coffee. They come back, and next thing you
and
know,
then
you
act weird.
Then you're passed out on the stage, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, she actually did that. She passed out. Remember, she passed out on her show.
I know. And my heart went out to her, because I'm like, you know, when they come for you, when they put you on this list,
mm-hmm.
Thomas, and they come for you, these people have no problem putting things in your food. And it would blow
right.
your
mind. Right, and if you remember during that time, it was horrible to see what happened to her on that show, because she just went into a whole different persona. It was awful.
That's when it hits you. And these sick people think it's funny. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah, they were laughing at her, but she was not laughing. She was going, this is insane. You know, I don't know.
No.
What's happening here, but I feel funny.
Because your mind has to go into a quick replay of what
uh-huh.
did you consume.
And you know what they did? They actually pulled her off the show. She had a live show. They pulled her off.
Yeah. I mean, imagine even at that level of being a millionaire, you have a personalized chef, you have a specific assistant. I mean, you just
and she lost it all. Lost
would
it
sell you
all.
Out and serve you up, you know, just like we read in this story where Delilah, she said, immediately went home to cook him something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because I was speaking to a gentleman earlier this week, Brother Thomas, and I was speaking to him about my son's favorite dish that he likes to make is eggplant parm. I shared that with you. He makes an excellent eggplant parm. And he said, he was like, I would love to try it, but I don't eat anything with spaghetti sauce. And so I said, why don't you eat anything with spaghetti sauce? And he's like, well, too many witches manipulate spaghetti sauce, and so now I'm traumatized to eat any form of spaghetti sauce going forward. And I just thought to myself, this has gotten so freaking out of control.
that
How is, I've never heard that before. Now, that's an interesting
oh,
one.
Yeah,
I have never heard spaghetti sauce. No, spaghetti sauce?
Yes,
uh-uh.
That is the go-to for many witches because, you know, unfortunately, they like to tamper with a little bit of blood and spaghetti sauce.
Oh,
and so,
my God. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really unfortunate. And something has to change. It's disgusting. And it's not spoken about. I know in the Caribbean culture, if you notice many of the restaurants that you go to, the chefs are all men, right? They don't trust women, putting stuff
oh,
into food. So a lot of the
God.
Caribbean restaurants have male chefs in the back. If you look through the little window, you'll always see a man back there. Because this is something that has gone on in African, Caribbean cultures for years now. That's just been kind of swept under the rug. And
so women put a little extra dose of something in there, huh?
You know, I don't understand. It is sick.
A man could do it too, but I guess a woman is just more vindictive. I don't know.
Well, there's other things men can do as well, but a lot of times women have been known to do this to keep a man, so to speak. Or,
well, that's what they say. You get to a man's heart, you get it through his stomach.
Through his stomach. That's always been the line, but no one's really delved into what are the things that these corrupted women are doing behind the scenes. And I think,
well, they're dressing
the fear
to impress, Jewel. Of course, they're dressing to impress. So when
yeah,
they dress, they're dressing their food up. They're dressing it to impress. So in other words, they're putting some kind of wickedness into it, some kind of potion, something that's going to make this person look favorably, and I think that's what Delilah did.
Yeah.
She made him look favorably her way.
Yes, yes, and they have to keep that going because when it wears off,
yeah,
it's something awful, and you can really look at the person for who they are in the worst ways,
yeah,
which is why you shouldn't dabble in any of that stuff anyway.
No.
If someone doesn't want to be with you and they're showing signs,
you don't put a potion together.
Be,
a love potion.
No,
love potions are not good. They're not good.
That's not the way to go. All right.
No.
Let that person go. All right. People have.
They're not worth it in the long run. Yeah.
You have no control over another human being. You are not
right.
God. Okay. And if God can give us free will, they are entitled to their free will if they
Amen.
Want to walk out that door. Okay,
and
I can't emphasize that enough to anyone that's using food as a means to control or harm another person. That should go without even being said that you don't control anyone and you shouldn't do that. In any attempt to
Well, it's a false narrative. It's not, it's never gonna, it's not, so then the words, you're thinking, okay, is it the drug or is it he really have feelings for me? And then you're thinking, well, I gotta keep it up, I gotta keep up the facade.
It's
wrong.
A manipulation. It's a manipulation tactic done over food. And I don't, I don't understand it. I don't condone it, and I condemn it by all means. But a lot of these different groups in secret societies, that's a go-to.
Yeah. Yeah. When all else fails, get
somebody
them in the stomach.
yes. And it can affect, they can do this to affect your self-esteem.
You know, I just thought of something, Jewel. You know the expression? That's gut-wrenching.
Oh, my goodness. That's so spot on. Oh, my gosh.
But it's the truth. Yeah, gut-wrenching. So, okay, when you have something wrong, you're bending over. You know, it's gut. It's in your gut. I mean, you're feeling it. You're feeling the pain. And so that's gut-wrenching. So whenever you've got something that's happened to you, it's so traumatic, it's so gut-wrenching. That's a meaning to that.
Yes.
Crazy! It's crazy! But that's it.
Those of us that are strong in the word, we have to get back to being the mothers of the church and start taking back over the kitchen and stopping this demonic activity from occurring in our lives and our families, we're going to have to pull back from eating out because they're doing this in certain restaurants. And,
if you know what you're preparing, you know what's in your food, you know?
Yeah.
But when you go out to a restaurant, you don't know who's in that kitchen.
No.
And you don't?
No.
And you don't know who's putting stuff in your drink, you know, going to these bars and things. You don't know who's going to put something in your drink. You don't.
Just the thought of it, yeah. And I can assure you, there's people out here that will put stuff in your drink without a care in the world.
No.
About.
Because they have one thing in mind, and that's to take advantage. And they want to have you in your weakest point. Yeah, they want you in your weakest point. Yeah.
You know, you sometimes will, you know, think, well, let me only get the drink from this licensed bartender. Someone can bribe that bartender to put something in your drink. And again, they think that this is something to fool around with. It's funny. It's entertaining.
It's acceptable.
It's
you know, it's like, because, okay, so, you know, this person's going to get a little lightheaded. Big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
No. But when it comes to, and
it's a messing with the mind. So when you get lightheaded, there's a reason for it. Hello?
This is another reason why our father has told both Samson and Solomon that they needed to stay away from certain tribes, certain people, certain groups. Likewise, with our communities, these are not our
were
tribes.
They told you
something
weren't they supposed to stay away from Sabine women? S-A-B-I-N.
Yes.
Have you heard of that? Sabine?
Yes, I've heard of that. Yes.
Okay.
But understand, likewise, these people in these secret societies, these secret groups, these clubs, these are not children of God. You have to know your tribe and stay away from them because you can really get hurt. Fatally.
Well, you got to look for the red flags, and that's the thing. All we've got the discernment's got to come, people, and that's what we're in right now. In 2025, the year of Jubilee, you had better have on your discernment, you know, head wrap, because you're going to have to see what's right, what's wrong, what might be right, what might be wrong, and be able to make a difference in your decision making.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how you can turn it all around. When you're in doubt, go to God. So
Amen.
If you're thinking that somebody
Amen.
Is twisted, find out if they're really twisted. Say, God, is this person twisted? You give me the right answer here. I want
God
to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yes.
God,
yes.
I know sometimes when you hear us say this, those that are pessimists are like, yeah, well, when is God going to talk to me? First of all, let me just be clear. A lot of you, in all honesty, are not ready for God to talk to you. All right? Let's not play games here. Let's really not play
but
games.
But don't scare them either, Jewel, because I say that, well, Yeshua, maybe there was in God and Yeshua, but Yeshua is very easy to talk to, and he's like a friend.
Yeah.
You know, you can
I'm not saying you can't talk to God, but to actually hear God's voice.
Oh, yeah, you got to be prepared for the answer. That's the fact.
You're not even prepared. I'll go as far as saying you're not even prepared to hear from angels. You're not prepared to hear from ancestors that want to come by and warn you.
Right.
So things have to be given to you in a subtle way that you can handle as you grow spiritually.
Bite by bite,
right?
Bit by bit. Yes, exactly.
almost like a baby moving from breast milk to baby.
Yes,
that's,
nurturing.
That's where
we
are.
Solid food.
We're not ready for just to jump right into whole food overnight. So when you hear people say, "Oh, I've never heard God's voice," you're not ready. You're really not ready. And and that goes for myself, Brother Thomas. Those that as you grow spiritually, there's levels to this. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no
and God reveals himself in different ways. Sometimes he'll speak out loudly, and other times it's a whisper, and sometimes it's a feeling.
That's
an emotion.
The good thing. One thing about God, and I could vouch for this wholeheartedly, is that even if you don't actually hear God's voice yet,
right,
God will still reveal it to you in a way that you can handle. For example, you go to God and you go in prayer and you say, God, I think this person is selling me out. There's something about them that, that doesn't seem right.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me a sign, God? Can you show me, you know,
beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yes.
I can handle. And you'll get a text message from them that's so
off the wall.
Off the wall. That you'll look at it differently and say, wow, God, I didn't see it that way before, but you've opened my eyes in a way that I can't deny that this person is not for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, this is how you can start to embrace God's communication on a baby level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't get offended when I say that, because I needed God initially in a very, very mild way, because when God started to move me up in levels that he can communicate with me, it got a little scary at times, where it was like, God, is that you? Is that Satan? What is going on? Because there's a lot.
Right, because you're always thinking that you're being bombarded with demons, you know? And
yes,
so you're thinking, well, is this just a demon in disguise, you know?
Yes.
And so you've got to be open to it.
That's how our society has trained us to anything happening on a supernatural level, it must be of darkness all the time. And
that's the way they're able to control us, exactly, because when they're talking about darkness, and it's in the movies, it's in our books, it's everywhere, we are bombarded with this evilness, this blackness, this darkness, and we should shy away from it, and we should run from it. But it's just because of perception. So maybe our perception is twisted, and we know how that's happening because they have done that.
Our Father has to show us that we have nothing to fear.
But fear itself.
That's what they have programmed us to do, is to be filled.
Well, that's what happened with COVID. They placed it and pretended and published it as fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why people went out and got the damn vaccine. I'm sorry to cuss, but because of fear. They thought, I'm fearful, I'm going to die, okay? And they told you scientifically 99.9% people would live.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I can't support my family because you got to be vaccinated to work in this place.
Yeah.
And we're on code orange. We're going to code red. Oh, my goodness. We're running out of, what was that thing that they needed for all of the people to breathe? We're running out of
the respirators.
What was it, Thomas?
The respirators.
We're running shorter. I mean,
and masks. They didn't have masks.
On mass epic levels, and every minute it was just your heart's constantly
horrible
about what to do, what's going on.
And then you saw the poor senior citizens, you know, that were in the nursing homes, and so you'd have the family members, they couldn't go into the nursing home, so they would visit them from the outside window. They were in a damn cage.
It was complete chaos, and those that know God know that we don't have a God of chaos, right?
It was insane.
It was really chaotic, and you really needed to go within, pause, take some time to turn off that television. And go to God.
The TV, my God, it was so horrendous. I mean, when you came on the TV, the one thing they showed, there's 600-something, you know, coffins over in Italy that are now being buried in the ground, and you're going, what? You know? And they can't even give them a proper burial, so they do a mass grave thing. And then you're seeing, you know, your senior citizens, the ones that are in Target are 64 years and up, and, you know, we've got to be protecting of them. And so, and then they're saying, well, then we've also got to give the vaccines to the children. And I'm going, why the hell do we give them vaccines to the children? And there's a reason.
Gotten out of control. Totally out of control. But it was the first test run of society's levels of faith. Over fear.
Maybe not so. They're saying now that Spanish flu maybe was the same way.
I'm talking of our time.
Oh, I agree with you. That's our time, most definitely. We'd never faced anything like this before, ever.
No.
But apparently they're doing 2.0. It's coming.
Yeah, because they got such good results from the first one. They're like, oh, my goodness, we didn't realize we can really scare them out of
They inoculated, Jewel, 6 billion people.
I know. And we start to see the breaking of families where they were attacking those that did not want to
family members would turn on other family members because, why? Well, you know, family members would tell us, oh, aren't you going to get the vaccine? Well, why not?
Yeah.
Don't you love us? That's the first thing came out of their fucking mouth. Do you love us? I'm sorry, I'm cussing again. But that's the truth.
And logic went completely out of the way. Like,
there was no logic.
For themselves. It got to the point where it's like, okay, so if you are vaccinated and you're safe, why are you still wearing this mask? You're in the safe zone.
Do you know what I just found out today, Jewel? I kid you not, that Fauci admitted that there was no such thing. He lied about the 6-foot rule.
Do you know
he lied about that?
I don't even want to touch on it because
the six foot rule. Everybody remember the 6 foot. Now you did. If you don't, then you weren't in retail. But if you were in retail, you came in and you had a door, okay? And they came in the door and you had to put a sign down 6 foot, okay? And then you had to stay 6 feet away from the other customer that was in the store. And then you had another one that was 6 feet to the register. And if you didn't stay within that guideline, it was horrible. If you went to a restaurant, you had to be 6 feet away from another person. Now, where the did they develop that it was 6 feet? I'll tell you where. 666.
Well,
demonic. Antichrist.
Demonic.
All focus on the number 666. And that's what we did. All our signs. When you saw the signs, they had them printed. 6 feet and an arrow, 6 feet and an arrow. That was what you put on your signs outside your door. You there?
Well, yes, I'm here.
That's what I'm saying. So this 6 foot crap was ridiculous. We live within 6 feet of each other.
Yes, I understand, Brother Thomas. The last point that I want to drive home about this protecting your crown and being careful with what you eat is your hair. And I don't think it's you know, in this story we read about the importance of Samson's locks and how they cut it, but there's a lot of connection to your hair and your DNA, and I want to remind you guys to be careful where you leave your hair.
Are you talking about like barbers and stuff like that? Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Barbers.
I hear you.
Even in your brushes. And
well,
your
what I have heard, now this is kind of weird, but those people that they make wigs out of people who have died.
Yeah.
Yuck. They use their hair. Their hair is contaminated.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Well, hair is an extension of your cells. If y'all didn't know that, hair is a cell.
It is. And I've heard stories, Brother Thomas, of women who have put on other people's human hair.
Yep.
And have started having out-of-body experiences, nightmares. Dreams.
Because they're basically, they're connecting with that inner
this other person.
Being.
And what this other person worship, because a lot of times this hair comes from different countries where they worship different things, and you know, it may not have been on the light side, and so have these
on the dark side.
These, I've heard of stories. Where,
well, it could be people, and I'll just be really blunt here. It could be people that are on drugs.
It could be anything. I've heard women saying
because
a
lot of your people who are on drugs, they to get more money for their drugs, they sell their hair.
Yes, that happens quite a bit. You know, because it's such a lucrative business. But I've also heard stories of people chasing them in their dreams, whose hair it belonged to.
Whoa! Now that would be freaky.
Yeah. Pretty cryptic stuff. So we have to be really careful when we deal with hair and putting other people's hair on our crown and get back to the days where we cover our head, ladies.
The adornment.
I know that there's a pulling in our society for vanity and to be the most beautiful with lovely locks and all these different kinds of wigs coming out. Girls, I know. I see them. I want to look
hair
as fabulous as all of you.
The
as
weaves.
Well. But until we can get rid of or identify these spiritual abusers, these divination abusers that are attacking our crowns.
Let's not step over that. Mm-hmm.
Let's not allow vanity to drive us into insanity.
Yeah. Okay. Well, vanity, thy name is vanity. That has a lot to do with it. You know, that's Pygmalion. I mean, what did Pygmalion do? You know, he fell in love with himself in the water. You know, he says, oh, I'm so beautiful. You know, and you're going, you're weird. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, and then he could feel no other. He could see no other because all he could see was himself. He says, if he doesn't equal up to me, then I'm not going to have anything to do with him.
Yeah.
So it's a thing in your mind. It's a mind trap.
Let's pay attention to look at other cultures. Look at the Jews. Look at the Muslims. And I'm not saying we have to embrace everything of all these other cultures, but notice that we are starting to see a rise in people going insane in our groups, our communities, and our heads are not covered. Our crowns are exposed. We have to protect our crowns, ladies. Get back to those nice, fancy scarves. Remember, I used to love seeing in movies. I don't know if you recall this, Tommy.
Oh,
was
the women, what kind of scarves they called? I can't think of the name.
Women
of it. Really
wear
expensive
these flashy,
scarves. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were like satin almost.
Yes. Yeah.
And they
yeah.
looked
vermeil,
nice.
Vermeil, mermaid, vermeil. I don't remember. Some kind of scarf. It's very expensive. Very expensive.
Yes, it would be nice to be
Hermes. Is it Hermes? Hermes?
I think so. If anyone out
it's
there
French.
If anyone out there would like to partner with us, Fundraising Cup, on bringing that trend back, I would love to discuss how we can do that to protect the women of this age and culture and bringing that elegance and protection back to our community. So definitely link up and send me a message.
Well, you know, another thing, too, with the scarves, Jewel, it protected the head from the heat.
Yes, yes.
The sunlight.
It did. It served a multiple purpose there, and I think it's the way to go, you know, to
Hermes.
Protect our
Hermes. It's Hermes scarf. Hermes. It's French.
Yeah. Well, you heard it from Thomas. Anyone interested in partnering with us and working on a new design of Hermes scarves, definitely hit us up, and let's see what we can do together for our Christian community. Okay? So moving on to the next point, because we were on that for quite a while.
Yes,
we
were. It was great. It was very good, though. It was very good.
It was. It was. The next point I want to drive home is chosen ones and destinies, right? So in a couple of our prior podcasts, Brother Thomas and I have touched on chosen ones. I know you guys may have heard this a few times as you scroll through social media. You also may have heard of destiny swaps and wondering what in the world are these people talking about? What's going on here? And, you know, in this particular story we read today, it was very clear. God said that Samson was God's chosen man during a time when the judges ruled Israel.
Well, the Philistines knew that he was chosen, and they wanted to know what would get him his weakness, his weak point, because they knew they couldn't go against him unless he was weakened. And so they stepped out, and they did anything they could to make that happen. And they, you know, basically indoctrinated her. Said, you do this, and you'll get this money. Same things happen today. Same thing.
That's what I was just about to touch on. You know, from birth, he was destined to liberate Israel from the Philistines. And I want you guys to understand this. There was a destiny that's placed on our lives. These people in these hidden societies are going to these practitioners, and they're asking about people in their family.
Yeah, and they know who the chosen are. That's the thing of it is. Well, that's the thing of
the
issue. We said they know who they are, but the chosen don't know.
You know who you are. No,
the chosen don't know.
The chosen don't even know it in this.
We're going, duh. What?
But what happens is, you know, family members and loved ones they want to elevate in these secret societies.
Yeah.
In these Freemason groups, in these, what's the other one for the females?
Yeah, the Eastern Star.
Eastern Stars. They want to rank up in these groups. And so they go to the groups and they're like, you know, I want to, you know, be wealthy and I want to rank up and I want to be well known. Their egos are so out there.
I'll tell you where it starts, Jewel. I mean, you know, you have high school sororities and stuff. You do have that and fraternities. You have it in high school. But then it gets even more so in college. I mean, you're not anybody unless you're in a fraternity or sorority. You're a wildfire.
I didn't believe that.
I know.
I didn't
but there's so
that.
Many
and
kids
started...
that come from, you know, the farmland, okay, and they come to the big city, and they're there with all of the people who are the elites, and so they think, I've got to fit in, so I've got to be part of the group. I've got to sacrifice and do these things so that I fit in. Because if I fit in, then I'll secure myself in society. I will not have to worry about Podunk High, where I was, and I will be with these hobnobbers, and I will always be in the know. And that's what they think is most important, and that's what's wrong with the world today. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. What the hell cares about the Joneses?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, when you get behind their doors, the Joneses, they have just as many problems as we do. And that's a serious thing. They ain't perfect.
It's absolutely true, Thomas. I never agreed with that. I started my own female group in college to give females another option where they didn't have to kind of go through that alleyway.
You were a non-sorority, weren't you? Mm-hmm.
I was. And because those other groups, they are gateway.
They're vicious.
Far more dark and sinister, and people don't realize it.
No, they're very vicious. They're very turncoat. I mean, they'll turn on themselves in a dime. You know, they'll sell each other out. There's no loyalty. None.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, you know the saying, there's no loyalty amongst thieves and these thieves.
And when you're talking about, and what we're talking about in these societies and these fraternities, it's all about the money.
It is.
The money and power.
But I want to get back to what I was saying. So
I'm sorry.
These people are going to these, no problem. They're going to these, various practitioners and they're asking, you know, how can I rank up? How can I, be well known in this group? And they're saying, well, do you have anyone in your family or friends group that is a chosen one by God that has this destiny, to be, like Samson, someone chosen to do something great for his nation, for his group, for your generation. And they find out who that individual is, and once they do, the families voluntarily
sacrifice
that individual. And it's hard to believe because you think, well, what if that individual was loving and kind to them their whole life? Does that matter?
Exactly.
No.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you've got family members that you've grown up with since, you know, you are infants, and all of a sudden this person turns against you, and you're going, why? What did I do wrong? What did I step on your toes? Did I say something that I shouldn't have said? I don't understand. It's because the powers that be have stepped in, and you just need to be able to walk away from it. And that's the hard thing, is realizing that you have family members that have done this to you, sold you out, and you need to walk away from them.
That I think that's the biggest challenge for those that are chosen.
Yeah.
You have to embrace that solitude and realize that this may have been your earthly family, but this is not your godly family.
Right.
And this is something you would never, never consider doing to anyone in your family.
No.
No matter how many pieces of silver someone would have put in front of your face, you would have said, are you crazy? Are you insane? This is someone that I grew up with, I love with all my heart.
Yeah.
I don't care. But these same individuals would turn and say, how much money? Look, it's all
Excuse
of us.
Excuse me? You mean all I have to do is this and I get that much money? When you sell your soul, there's no limit.
There's no limit. There's no limit. And
so don't go that route. So don't think that you can just dabble in it a little bit. Yeah. They don't think you can do a part-time dabbling? Uh-uh. There ain't no part-time dabbling. No, no, no.
And
when you sell your soul, it's it.
Let me go as far as saying this to those of you who have thought that you've gotten away with it in your families where some individuals may have had untimely deaths, right?
Yep.
I want to point this out to you, that
your sins will find you out.
When Jesus was killed,
mm-hmm.
the sky went dark for several days for attacking
mm-hmm.
God's child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you really think that you are going to get away with targeting his chosen children here, and he doesn't see you, you're not going to pay the price, or in some
mm-hmm.
cultures they say the karma of
mm-hmm.
attacking
mm-hmm.
an innocent being for your own greed and self-gain and popularity
yes.
and clout. You have another thing coming, especially in the
Well, it's called guilt for a reason. It's called guilt for a reason, but let me just say this, go one step further. Do you know that people who have sold other people out, Jewel, they cannot
mm-hmm.
have a mirror in their house?
I believe
You know why?
Well,
because they can't
yeah.
face the demon that's in them.
That's within them, because they've opened
they
up.
They see the demon. They see
demon.
When they look in the mirror from
yeah.
that point on, mirror, mirror, think of it, you know, Snow White. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the favorite of them all? You know, as long as she was seeing herself, she was okay. But when she saw that there was somebody else in the mirror,
yeah.
she had to take them out. So here's the thing with the mirror. Mirrors are the mirrors to the soul, windows to the soul.
Yes.
So remember this. A mirror is another dimension. So
it's also a portal.
Yeah, it is a portal.
And
so
just,
when you're
I
looking
wanna,
at that, you can't face it. You can't face it.
No, and I want to point this out because I know you guys may hear us and think we're talking figuratively
mm-hmm.
of not facing yourself. Because a lot of people, you ask, how can you sleep at night doing what you do? We're not talking figuratively. This is reality. These
mm-hmm.
individuals in these families are going overseas and actually asking for demonic entities to
mm-hmm.
to put
in
on
growth,
individuals
yeah.
and harm
yes.
these individuals. Well, what happens when these entities can't do that? They
mm-hmm.
go back to the person who went to get them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So when we say that they can't look themselves in the mirror, that's the demonic entity they went to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's now on them, and they can't
mm-hmm.
look at that entity in the
mm-hmm.
mirror.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
This is
now
the
they,
reality.
They see the transformation, and they don't like
yes.
what they see.
This is the reality of what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Now, nobody
okay,
outside can
are,
see it, but it's inside their minds. Their minds are so that they see
yes.
the only what they've transformed into.
They
can't deal with
see it.
It.
They can see it. We
mm-hmm.
many people probably can't see it from the outside looking in. You just
right.
see some of the subtle changes in the person's
yeah, their personality.
Exterior.
Yeah.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
some excessive weight gain. Maybe a
yeah.
lot of anger outbursts are now coming out of the blue. So you're seeing
yeah.
the subtle changes on the exterior, but
yeah.
they can see the demon that they
oh,
picked
they see
up
the major
when
changes
when
they look in the mirror. Yes, and they don't
yeah.
like it. They can't face it, so they'd rather not have a mirror in their house.
Yeah,
not one
yeah,
mirror.
That's what we're talking about there. So I just want to clarify for those who don't really understand the spiritual
yeah.
aspect of where we were going with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this idea that they're being sold, hey, you know, you can actually get that chosen person's destiny that God had placed on them. You can steal it. You can become Samson. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yeah, it
God
is.
God chose
deception.
Samson
uh-huh.
for a particular
for
purpose. You
yep.
cannot be Samson.
No. No. You never will. You never, never, never will accomplish
from
it.
From Satan. You cannot.
Right.
Do not
but,
try
you know,
to kill
Satan
Samson
says, you know, I got, the, I'm more.
You cannot.
Well, what Satan always tells us is I'm more powerful than God, so who are you going to believe?
Yeah,
and that's
the,
where
the
you step out
factor.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put that out there before any more of you sell out your souls in just foolishness in believing that.
Well, thank you. They can just do it part-time. They can do just
destiny.
A little bit, Jewel. You know, they can just do a little bit. You know, it's not that harmful. You know, I may have said a not a true statement, and it brought, you know, a lot of anguish to the person. But that was just simple. It's not really something,
yeah,
you know, that really have to answer for. No, because you sold your soul. You basically stepped out on that line. You did something you should not have done, and you will pay the price for it.
Absolutely.
Down the long run.
Absolutely. I just want to emphasize that because you're dealing with the master trickster, right?
Yeah.
And Satan knows you cannot fully ever step into a chosen one's shoes because God didn't choose you for that role, and he knows that. But what he will do temporarily is this.
Torment.
You know, if you can torment and kill, let's say, Brother Thomas or Jewel, who may have a destiny to be a spiritual leader or wealthy or whatever it is, you can have their wealth, right? And you get so excited. You get tricked out, you know, tricked out of your spot. You're like, yeah, I'll sign up for it. What poison do I have to serve them to get there? I want to be seen as the man or the woman. Well, here's the thing. Let's say that you actually do succeed in harming them or, God forbid, killing them.
Yeah.
And you take their spot temporarily. What the devil doesn't tell you is that may be short-lived. You may only have that wealth for a year. You may only have good health for a year.
Because there's somebody behind you that wants to stab you in the back. That's the thing. You don't realize that someone sold you out.
He has someone coming right behind you to sell you out as well. And
Amen.
It's a cycle of you dealing with the master trickster and selling yourself out for a
so
little bit.
So don't do it.
Don't get tricked.
Right.
Don't get tricked.
Don't sell yourself out for any reason. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't sell your soul. Don't. It's not worth it.
Do it the Lord's way. There's more
There's more rewards in heaven than there is on earth.
Rewards,
so go with that.
Long term than anything the enemy can offer you here. So
I would rather have my rewards. And you know what, Jill? I'd rather have my rewards in heaven than here on earth.
Yeah,
I really would.
So
I really would.
Do not lose sight that the enemy will use and or bribe guys the closest ones to you in order to expose your weaknesses and vulnerabilities. I can't emphasize this enough, which leads me right into the next point of self-mastery.
Yep.
Self-mastery, Brother Thomas. Samson could not resist the beauty and the alluring.
But I think she played that on him. I think she played that up.
She did.
So she made... You know, she was a wily one, and that's what they say. And so, here's his problem. You know, he had the wandering eye. No wonder they took his eyes out.
Did.
You
he
know,
did.
Because he couldn't maybe
that,
couldn't see,
wow.
couldn't you know do it.
Wow.
I'm just saying,
I've never
you know?
Heard that said before, but it kind of makes sense. You know, he had the wandering eye, and he lost his eyes for wandering so much. Interesting. But
in short, and because again,
in
you know,
short,
he, huh?
I was gonna say, in short, he came across to me, Brother Thomas, as an overgrown schoolboy without self-mastery.
Well, he was arrogant. He thought he was it. He thought that he was the one, and there was no other one like him, and there would never be anybody else like him, and he was invincible. When you have those thoughts and you say you're invincible, you've left God out of the picture.
You did. You did. You forgot who
you
gave you those gifts and talents.
Yeah, you better not step out on that limb either. You may not think, oh, I'm so big, I'm so great, I'm so good, I don't need God. Look out. You're in for a big fall. Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you guys, as we mature and we should grow to understand that we ought not to entertain every dog that barks. Have you guys heard that saying before?
Yeah, that's an
They may look good on the outside, but not.
But they'll turn on you. That doggy.
Yeah.
He's vicious. for a reason.
We should take our time to ask questions.
Don't turn your back on that doggy. Don't turn your back on them. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way on that one. I was a little boy. Yeah, I had this pit. It wasn't a pit bull. It was a boxer, and it belonged to the pastor up on the hill. And so he came down, and I was going, "Oh, you're a little stinker. You're in my mom's flower bed." And I'm going, "You know what?" And I turned my back on him. You know what he did? He nipped me in the rear.
Yeah.
Sure did. It hurt. I said, "You little devil." Mm-hmm. He hightailed it back up to the house. I'm saying, wow, I learned a valuable lesson. Don't turn your back on a vicious animal. You never know.
Yep. We should take our time and investigate with questions and understand these people's motives and objectives to decide if it aligns with the will of our Father in our life.
Amen.
You know, oftentimes, Thomas, you said this earlier, the red flags are there. And we will willingly choose not to see that Delilah was persistent in trying to.
Well, she kept asking him. She said, "Look, you're lying to me." Right. She said, "You're lying to me. Give me the real reason." Now I'm telling you, you've done three times enough. Tell me what's the real reason.
Now I want to ask you, Brother Thomas, and I can relate to this in saying I've experienced where the signs would repeat itself over and over, where you're asking the same questions that tell you about the motives of this individual.
Yeah. How many times you have to be told? Once should be enough.
You're still playing with fire and entertaining the devil's kingdom, knowing this person, if this person was of God with you, they would not be trying to undermine you and manipulate
you. Right. There's an outward sign. You can see the symbolism. You can see, you know, how they treat others. And you're going, something ain't right here. And you got this feeling.
Yeah.
Go with that feeling. That is instinctive. That's ingrained in you.
Yeah.
It's your DNA, basically. And when those little alarms go off, you should react to it. Don't get dull to it. So that's where they've messed with our minds. And that's why things happened with COVID, because they dulled our minds. We trusted the man. We trusted our doctors. We trusted our nurses. We trusted our government. That they would not lead us astray. They wouldn't sell us down the river. And they did. They did. And so now we have to live with the consequences.
And I'm saying this to say that at some point we have to master ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to master loving ourselves and loving God enough to let go.
Amen.
You have to get to that self-mastery.
And that's the hardest thing to do, people, is to let go and let God. But it's really the easiest. But it seems like the hardest because you're going, I just think that, you know, I got to help him down the road. I got to be the one right there to help him. No, you don't. He can deal with it. He's limitless. He has no limits. He is all powerful. Don't think that he's, you know, thinking, I can use your help, you know. I'm kind of overloaded here. I've worked a longer shift than necessary. No, that is not God. Not God. That's the devil.
Yes.
The devil will tell you, I have a time out. I work 9 to 5, you know. The devil does that. He punches out at 9, you know, works a 9 to 5 job. He punches out at 5. God don't do that. God works 24/7. Amen, amen.
Amen. And this self-mastery that I'm talking about, guys, this is not something that you get rewarded for from these secret societies and becoming on different degrees. This is on a whole another level of spiritual hierarchy, right? When you to master yourself, master your emotions, master your responses to these individuals.
Be the same always. Don't be wishy-washy.
You
know, right?
Maintain.
If you're going to step out on your faith, step out on your faith. If you're going to take a stand, take a stand. Don't be riding the fence. It's either your convictions are going to set you on the right path or they are not. And that's a fact. That is reality. So you've got to realize I'm making a mistake here and turn from it. Or you've got to realize that I screwed up and I'm asking for forgiveness. You can do that. Or you can never go down that path to begin with because you know it's wrong.
There you go. There you go. And so I encourage you guys from this story alone, Samson had to learn to master himself and ultimately, you know, towards the end he did.
Well, you know what, Jewel, he really paid the price for his arrogance because he thought, you know, he could give this last way and it would be okay. No, it wasn't. Because they did find a way to bind him, and then they gouged his eyes out, and there he was, and then he was like he was like a clown, and so they put him in a prison, and they thought, hey, let's bring him out, you know, we'll watch what he's doing, and then people can entertain by him because he's an idiot, he's a fool now, because, you know, he allowed this to happen to him, he had this strength, and he blew it, he blew everything, his whole life away, and then, you know, what they didn't realize was his hair was growing back, you know, so it may take time. Make time for things to develop, but in the end, he was regaining his strength. But he also knew that what he had done was the ultimate betrayal of God, and he was ready to take the stand, and he did. He stepped up and he said, you know what? Get me to the pillar, show me where it is, and I'll do the rest. And I don't care if I'm dead in the process. And he did die in the process. He died.
He did, but he fulfilled his purpose and his destiny.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And so this is why I refer to him as one of the faith heroes and still getting to the point that he needed to get to despite all of the hard lessons he had to learn along the way. And as Brother Thomas pointed out, those of you who are going through it or have gone through the testing, or should I say the priming, right?
Mm-hmm.
As your enemies laugh and scoff at you as they did Samson, what they don't realize is that as they're laughing, God is pruning you.
Yeah.
Right? And right before their eyes, you are leveling up.
You
are
because you've maintained, you've stayed steady, you've gone the fight,
you've
picked up your
lessons.
Cross and carried, you've done
carried
all these things.
Yes. And you know,
and when you do that, and you can feel that accomplishment, and it needs to be an inside accomplishment that you realize. You don't have to have anybody tell you, well, I think you've really accomplished. No. You feel it yourself. You know that what you've done is a good thing. You know what you're doing is a good thing. You know that you turn for God and you forsake all others, and you do that. So when you do that, God, and you're living in his favor, that's the other thing. When you live in his favor, he is proud to help you. Proud to help you. But if you don't live in his favor, if you're wishy-washy or if you're kind of sort of maybe person, no. You're not going to get the full reward. Not happening.
Yes.
You can't ride the fence.
Which leads me into the next point. And I promise you guys, I only have a few more points because I know, as always, but Thomas and I go overtime.
I hope we're instilling a lot of thought.
We're almost there in all the symbolism and what we're facing today. I want to talk briefly about the symbolism of Samson holding onto those pillars and pulling them down symbolizes the breaking of strongholds and generational curses that are being placed on a lot of chosen ones. It was so symbolic. And that imagery of him pushing those pillars down as the fulfillment of his destiny. And those.
Well, he asked God if he could do this. He said, God, give me this strength one last time.
Yes. And that's what many of us are going to have to do if we haven't done it already. We'll have to ask God for the strength to break these generational curses, to break these family members that have shifted into these secret societies and harming, creating these cycles of, of sacrifice.
Well, you know what I think, Jewel? I think really that's where discernment comes in. I really do.
Yeah.
When you can start looking at things in a whole different perspective and know where you're going to, and you know that this is the right thing to do, you feel it in your heart. That's the key. You got to feel it in your heart. You feel it in your mind, that's a different thing. You got to feel it in your heart, because where does the temple lie? Where is God's temple? It's in your heart.
Yeah, in you.
It's your soul. So if you don't feel it there, you ain't feeling it. It's a substitute. It ain't the real thing. So you got to feel it inside. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is something that you are destined to do. And the only reason why you know this is because you've taken the stand to say, I will not allow this to happen anymore.
Absolutely. And I want to encourage all of you chosen ones carrying gifts of God and pursuing your purpose and destinies to go out on your shield, if anything at all, like Samson. Stand your ground and don't give up.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jewel. I found out one thing, Jewel. Make the statement, the bold statement. I'll give my life up for it.
Yeah.
Please, ultimately. I'm telling you. And be willing to do that. Like, I don't care. If I have my enemy and they come bust out my door today and they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. But guess what?
That's right.
When I die, I'm going to heaven. And I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So if I take that stand, I take that stand boldly. That's what God says. Pick up your cross and take the stand boldly. Walk into that furnace. You know, like Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego, they walked into that furnace boldly, knowing that they could give their lives up at any moment, that they would be gone.
That's right. We have to get to that point of being capital C's again in Christians and chosen ones, that we would give up our life for God and say, you know what? You want to use you want to keep on stealing from me? You want to keep on trying to put me in financial poverty? Keep on bringing whatever you're going to bring, your energy weapons to mess with nervous systems, whatever you're going to bring, understand that I'm willing to go out on my shield until the death for my God so bring.
That's right. Take the stand. And that's what God wants. God loves us. God loves us so much, Jewel, that all he wants us to do is turn back to him and say, God, I was wrong, you know, and I see the error in my ways, and I thank you for giving me eyes to see this and ears to hear it and a voice to speak it and a heart to feel it. And if you have all those things, you're going to get to heaven because you're focused on what it is. It's mind, body, spirit. All of it's in one. If you start living your life that way, you're going to get to heaven. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. The next point I'm going to quickly point out is humility. Having humility and understanding the power of God's grace. We have to understand that the story teaches us that no matter how big we have failed, it is never too late to humble ourselves and turn to God.
No. Yeah, humble yourself. And exactly. Mm-hmm.
When
because those that realize that what they've made the mistakes in life, they can change.
Yes.
When they turn back to God and say, God, you've used me now as a vessel. And you show these people that my life has changed and that I'm on the new road. And I'm trying to get people who are on that old road to follow over on my side. And I asked for you to show them the difference, the light that's now shining. And that's what I want. I'll live for that. You know, I was wrong. I did these things. That's all God wants us to do. Admit you made the mistake.
And we have to be mindful and watch out for arrogance. Samson first got in trouble when he suggested a riddle that no one but him could solve, with a solution that highlighted his unbeatable strength. He continued to behave arrogantly and take foolish risks throughout his life, ultimately getting him into trouble.
Right.
Regardless of how skilled or blessed we are, we must be humble.
Amen. 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 Exactly. You, if you're not humble, you got something wrong with you.
We are. I mean, and it's challenging for all of us. I mean, look at even Moses got caught up in in the whole, you know, look at me now. You know what I mean? And sometimes,
well, the accolades, the praise, that will get you, you know.
Yes.
You're thinking, gee,
yes.
I'm the one, you know, I parted the Red Sea. No, you didn't.
Yes. When you see that, especially, you know, for Samson and many of us, when you see that it takes 1,000 men to come at you, whether physically or spiritually, and you can defeat them.
Yeah.
Effortlessly, you have to remain humble in your gifts.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well,
you
know what? If you think about this way,
anything.
Right. And if you think about this way, look at young David. Okay, here he was. He had the Goliath, right? And he's standing up there and he's saying, you know, I ain't scared of you. And Goliath was saying, you little pipsqueak, you're not going to be doing nothing to me. And he says, you want to bet? And he says, and he took off his helmet. Okay, first thing, he showed his weakness. Well, there was his crown. Aha. Get back to the crown thing. Don't you love it? So basically, you know, Goliath was saying, you little pip, you're amazing me. I don't understand your strength and your mind that you think that you can go up against it. Look at all these other soldiers. They're shaking in their boots. And you are coming with me. You don't even have a sword, you know. You don't have any armor. How do you think that you're going to defeat me? He's okay. You want to see it? And he's dead. Now why? David had faith. David had faith. And guess what? Goliath, he took his faith for granted. He took off his helmet.
Yeah.
That was his shield. And when he took his helmet off, he opened himself up to being killed.
Defeated through arrogance.
Yeah. And that's what David had practiced every single day with his stones and his sling. He got so good at it. He knew he could pinpoint that direction of that stone. And he was not fearful. He did not care. He was ready to, and you know the, it could have been that, you know, something failed and he lost, but he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to step out there and say, I ain't a scared of you. And that's why he got God's favor, because little David stepped out and he said, you know what, God? I trust you. You said I'll do this. And that's what we all have to realize. God tells us what we need to do. And we either choose the good way or the bad way. And the bad way is where we try to cut corners. There's no cutting corners with God. There's not. And if you don't go in this knowing full, head on, straight forward, that you could end up dead, well, that's life. But as I'm saying to you, you can end up dead and go to heaven, or you can end up dead and be in hell. You got two choices. That's going to be it, heaven or hell. There's no in between.
Absolutely. Two more points I want to drive home before we close out. And One is judges and spiritual authority, which is not always discussed in Christianity. The hierarchy of spiritual authority and being a judge. I know we often hear people say, you can't judge me. You are not a judge. But clearly
right.
here, Samson was, in fact, a judge. And as an official, he held that for 20 years. And, you know, as a judge, his authority seemed to have been limited just to that district bordering upon the country of the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, he was a judge. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, God, when he chooses certain people for certain things, sometimes there are people that are chosen to be judges and to I don't know the right way to phrase it, but
point the finger.
A lot of times chosen people are even the bait for people to be judged.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could have made the decision to do the right thing where God could see you, and now he's put these people right in front of you to see what decision you will make to be judged at this very moment. You've had all these years to learn about him, and now is the time that you're going to be judged. Would you kill someone for your own selfish gain? You're in spiritual court right now, and you don't even realize it. I want to let that be known that you were being judged spiritually.
You got the decision, right or wrong.
Decisions,
yes.
These decisions that you're making. And, you know, as much as you may despise the idea that this person has this spiritual hierarchy that gets God's immediate attention for you to be judged, it does not change the fact that Samson was that one.
Amen.
For whatever reason, God chose him to be that one. And so I just want to remind you of that. Delilah was judged in her actions towards Samson, believe it or not, as well as the other Philistine heinous acts of bulging out his eyeballs and all of that stuff. Even though Samson had to learn his own lesson, don't think that they weren't judged. They all died.
Mm-hmm.
They all died. Was it worth it in the end?
Mm-mm. Their scoffing and all of it wasn't worth it, any of it. Mm-mm.
Who remembers all of the kicking and the laughing and the this is so fun to out-manipulate someone and try to steal their spot and steal from them. What fun is it when you're dead and gone?
Well, it's not fun when they go to hell, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hot down there.
So I just wanted to emphasize that, Brother Thomas, because some of these people, you know, they have certain numbers in age, but no numbers in wisdom. And,
yes, that's right.
You know, they don't think that judgment is here when they make these silly decisions, but it's so close to home, you know.
Well, some people think, Jewel, that judgment day is never coming. I mean, they get to this point where they think in their minds, oh, judgment day, whoever thought of that? It's just a something. It doesn't really mean anything. No, there is going to be a judgment day, and you better be ready to face the jury.
I'll go as far as saying this, Thomas. Many people think that, oh, you know, I can do whatever I want down here, and God just has to forgive me for it. And also, when the test comes, right, because I got the cheat sheet, when the test comes, I know that God is going to come and ask me if I would do the right thing. And I'm going to sit up in class like a good student and say, I most absolutely would do the right thing. Who do you think you're
dealing with? I did the right thing. I did this. And then God's going to be able to say, excuse me? Did you help the homeless man? Did you help the homeless man? Did you help your neighbor who came to you and asking for food? Did you help that person? Or did you turn on your back on them and say, I don't have time right now?
God said, I put a...
So God's going to say to you, you know what? You know what God's going to say to you? I ain't got time with you neither.
Exactly.
When you do the least, when you do to the least of the, of my brother, you do unto me.
You
he means
unto
that,
me, and that's what they don't realize. That is the test. You are speaking. You are being judged through
mm-hmm.
those chosen people God put
mm-hmm.
in front of you to be tested. Even
mm-hmm.
chosen people are tested.
Oh yeah.
How we respond
yeah.
to you, anyone else? How we give back? We are all being tested,
yeah.
Okay? And so there is no outslicking God.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen it. You made
well,
in
their expression,
you make a decision.
Right. In there an expression in the scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God?
Yes.
And that's true. We've all have sinned. There's no one that's perfect.
No.
No one's above sin. It's how you choose to deal with that sin.
Yes.
So if
yes.
you realize that sin is overtaking you, do something about it.
You have to do something about it. Don't
mm-hmm.
keep on swimming upstream
mm-hmm.
in the sinful behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And trauma bonding and finding other unhealed people
mm-hmm.
to justify the sinful act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or keep on thinking, you know, that I'm going to eventually get it. Right. No. If you're going down the path of unrighteousness, be prepared for what you're going to face.
Exactly.
You're going to face an unrighteous God.
You know, like we say all the time, bring that same energy when you were laughing and kikiing and you were mocking God. And you thought
mm-hmm.
you weren't above God, and you could take
mm-hmm.
God on. Bring that same energy. Don't start crying now. All right? Don't start crying now.
But
yeah,
I'm saying, you know,
point.
Everybody has a way of turning around. In the let's take this full force here. So at the cross, okay, you have the thief on the cross in the 11th hour. The 11th hour. He speaks to Jesus. He says, "Sir, you're not supposed to be here. You ain't earned this spot. I did. I did evilness.
Yeah.
I did death. I whatever. I deserve to be here. I just ask you to look on me, to
he
show me.
It.
Yeah. And basically, in the 11th hour, he says, "I was wrong. I know what I did wrong, and I deserve to be here. And I just ask God that when you go to heaven." That you will remember me, that I did
yes.
realize it in the end. And then what did Jesus say to him? Because you have faith, you will dwell in my house forever. Oh, my God. I mean, it gives me chills even thinking about it today.
Yes.
That this man who deserved to be there is in heaven, people. So in the 11th hour... You can turn from your wicked ways. You can look upon the eyes of Jesus, Yeshua, and God, and you can say, "Forgive me." And He will. He will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to be willing to do that. It can't be where you're saying, "Oh, you know, I keep on doing my thing, but then the day when the judgment day comes, you know, he knows what I've done in society. I've given this kind of money and all these kind of things. So my good deeds get me into heaven." No, they don't.
No. No.
Good deeds don't get you there. Money don't get you there. What gets you there? Faith, love, compassion, charity. All the things that are somewhat humble, exactly. Humble yourself and come to God. Humble yourself.
Amen, Brother Thomas. I want to get to the last point and kind of
mm-hmm.
bring it on home, because I know you guys have been bearing with us for the last 2 hours. You know we go overtime, but this one is really important, and I really want you guys to open your minds and hearts to this last point, because I feel like we've been indoctrinated for so long and programmed for so long that
oh, Lord. I'm done with this.
It's not registering. So the last point is I need you all to be understanding and willing to embrace historical spiritual texts of other nations.
Yeah.
Samson is sometimes considered an Israelite version of the Greek Hercules.
Yeah.
The Sumerian Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
And Enkidu, Egyptian, the sun god.
Yeah. He had this almighty power.
Yes. And we see that in different other areas of the world, right? The reason being, right, I'm sharing this information with you to say that God was God before the Bible was written.
Amen.
Can you hear me, somebody? As a matter of fact,
the Bible didn't create God.
No. I would go as far as saying that God, in fact, tells us to study thyself.
Uh-huh.
To study to show thyself approved unto God.
Uh-huh.
Right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that means to me, we don't stop researching with one book or one religion when searching for the truth of God.
Because God can be everywhere.
He can be anywhere, everywhere. This is where the enemy has trapped many of us by quickly stating something is pagan, and we fearfully stop researching, stop seeking the truth. It's hypocritical to believe one group can wear rosary beads and another wearing crystals is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
It's how they worship their God.
It's how they worship God. These are resources God put on this earth, natural resources, and understanding that there is polarity in everything. And if someone chooses to use God's resources, the same ones, whether it be beads or crystals, to bless others or curse others, we just need to use our discernment to find out who and what these people are worshiping.
Amen.
You hear me, somebody.
Amen. So give me discernment so I can see the difference. Exactly.
Not just run from it in fear.
Uh-uh.
Right?
Face it head on.
Many years back, Brother Thomas, I worked with an Asian colleague who believed in Buddhism.
And
I was curious to know more. Right? Simply because
they're very strong. I'm telling you, Buddhists are really strong in their belief.
I wanted to learn more about Buddhism simply because of how she carried herself. She demonstrated strong discipline, respect,
inner strength, the chakra thing, things we don't even focus on, they do. And we're thinking that their way is twisted. No, it's not.
No. So I said to her, share with me your text and let me see if some of it was simply disseminated in different areas and hidden from some of us to keep us just bickering on foolishness in how we look or what information we have that you don't have. Right? And I'm telling you guys this so I can encourage you all to also research and learn more, because these occults, these religious groups, they are relying on our ignorance.
Yes. Amen. On our ignorance. Yes.
Okay? To utilize divinations of various ancient religions against us.
Yeah.
And that is the truth.
Right.
We must learn how to protect ourselves.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jewel. If you look at a Buddhist monk, look what they sacrifice. Look what they sacrifice. They sacrifice their inner self. They do. They have a calling, and they will do it to their death. They will. Because their faith is stronger than ours.
Yes. I think that, and I'm going to say this to say, Thomas, I know many of us females who go and get our nails done, and a lot of these Asian...
Uh-huh, they are Buddhist, and they have the little, yes, they have the little tea
many
and all that kind
of... Many of them are Buddhist.
Yes.
Many of them have these altars that we see put up in their salons, and a lot of times it doesn't occur to us, how are these people so prosperous that they could come to this nation? We've been here for all these years, but we don't have our own businesses. We don't have our own shops. They just come in and they have their own businesses. They have their own shops. And we don't even think to ask questions, how do you get this to work for you? How do you guys, I notice you're putting up these altars and honoring your ancestors.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
And
this
I do.
This is part of some of our culture that we've lost.
And you know, one other thing that they do, Jewel,
of our ancestors.
Yeah, and you know, one other thing they do is they honor that first dollar.
They that's the other thing.
That first dollar they take into their business, it's like a shrine.
We become ungrateful.
Yeah.
For the blessings, the simple blessings. When we see that they put up that first $1 bill, we're looking like, what's so big about that $1 bill? That is a blessing.
It was their first one.
To their business, to their family, and
they praise it. They admire it.
They pay homage, right, to their ancestors for helping them get that far. That's where we've gotten lost as a culture. I'm not just talking as a religion. I'm talking about as a culture.
Amen. I mean, they are really very, you know. And also, the other thing with Buddhists, they are there to help other people. I'm amazed at what they will do. They're not closed-minded.
No.
They'll help anybody.
They're not. They're not at all. And they will explain to you what they're doing. You know, it's not a secret. They will tell you, and that's the thing. We shouldn't be afraid of it. We need to learn from it. What books did you have that was kept for me where I did not realizing that even recognizing and paying homage to those that came before me would bring in prosperity? Why didn't I know that?
We didn't get that definition.
Did you not hear about altars in the Bible and sacrificing things in the Bible?
Well, that was Old Testament, and they don't look at that. You know, Old Testament sacrifices don't mean nothing no more.
Listen, everything we can take from historical texts.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, is that don't stop your knowledge at the Bible and allow them to fear factor you into believing, oh, that's pagan, you can't listen to that, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Broaden your knowledge.
Let me tell you. These secret societies, these occults, these Freemasons, what the secret is that they're reaching back into the knowledge before the Bible.
That's right.
And I'm
that is right.
Now,
and there is an oath.
Guys,
they pledge this oath to the death.
Yes, not to tell you. Not to tell you information about your own history, about your own culture, about how to protect yourself from these attacks. Imagine that.
And really, seriously, they realize that if they step out and they say something that's negative against their society, they're going to reap the whirlwind. And they will.
And that's the thing. I am not held, Brother Thomas and I are not held to any blood oath. We don't owe anybody anything to have to keep silent on this information we're sharing with you. As a matter of fact, it probably pisses a lot of them off because they're like, if she keeps telling all of these secrets, there won't be any left. God didn't call me to keep your secrets. God called me to save a nation.
Amen.
I want to be clear on that.
Amen.
So again, I want you guys.
I'm not doing it for no rewards in this earth. I'm telling you, I don't give a flying flip about rewards on this earth. I don't. I just want to get to heaven, thank you. I want to surpass all this. I want all this suffering and everything to end, and I just want to have peace and tranquility. That's all I want.
Same here, Brother Thomas. I need you guys to research as much as you can and understand that God was here before the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? It doesn't mean the Bible is null and void. It means that there's more information for us to study.
Yeah.
And prove.
Well, the Bible is the Bible is supposed to be looked at as a guide, but not the truth.
Yes.
Not the truth.
Do not omit knowledge from the Egyptians. Do not omit knowledge from
the Muslims.
Those that are Buddhist. Do not omit knowledge from the Muslims. Everyone has
Hindus,
of knowledge,
all of them. They all have value.
To our Father.
They all have
right?
value.
And we have to learn from one another. We have to learn the importance of protecting our crowns. We need to learn this. Get back
and
to
these people, these other religions, are very much in tune with the crown.
They understand.
Very much. They're not relying on any man. It's self-absorbing. It's a self-reliance that they know what they feel and they know what they need to do to get it right. They know this. We think we got to ask somebody. And that's wrong.
No. And just like these, as I mentioned before, there's a polarity to everything.
Yeah.
So similarly, as these occults are going to dark practitioners, we need to go to those in the light, those high priests, those high priestesses, right, that can give you knowledge directly from the source in these trying times. Those chosen individuals we consult with because they were given gifts that they are using for God's light.
Well, right? Jewel, you know what we're talking about, too. We're talking about going to the people that, you know, the tarot card readers. They're not bad people.
You know, they told us, they put everyone in a box and said, you know, you can't consult with anyone that
Malarkey.
Has a gift that can tell you any of God's plans.
Right, and these people are solid in their knowledge, and they do.
I want you to understand.
Discernment. Oh, my God. There's so much in discernment with them.
That is their gift. That right there is their gift. It's like, you know, telling someone who's a prophet, you can't prophesy. That's their gift. The cards are the tool for the prophecy, but they were gifted prophecy.
Yeah, to see it. To vision it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's their gift. Now, the question is, right, are you going to someone who is going to manipulate their gift to benefit themselves?
Uh-huh. Or are you going there to get benefited by gaining something? So you can't go in it with that negativity.
The truth that was sent by God to warn you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to really, like Brother Thomas said, use discernment, right? Find out who's of the light. Who are these high priestesses? Who are the high priests? Who are individuals that are willing to tell the truth whether they get paid lots of money or not?
And a lot of times these tarot card readers, they don't ask for a whole lot of money. They don't.
No.
Because they're there to help people. That's what their calling is.
Yes.
To help people.
Yes.
We shouldn't be afraid of them. We shouldn't say that they're weird or whatever, you know?
No. No, don't shame them out of their gift. Do not shame them out of their gift. They were sent here to help you, to warn you. Your family just sold you out.
Well, I'm going to say something here, and it's going to step on some toes. I'm going to say something's going to step on some toes. Okay, I'd rather go to that person than go to a person who makes a six-figure salary who's sitting up in a pulpit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that person who's sitting behind that pulpit, and he's drawing a six-figure salary, and I'm making pennies down here, and he thinks he can tell me what to do? No, he cannot. No, he cannot. He's not in my shoes. He don't walk in my shoes. And he sure as heck not helping me either. But he sure wants me to put money in the offering plate, and I don't. I'm just saying.
You know, I don't want to put everyone in the same bucket. But there are some spiritual leaders that are operating out of a space of greed and self-interest.
Amen.
And not,
it's all about what's in the offering plate, what they can gather from. And they don't give that 10% back to God.
So,
no, they do not.
I do encourage, and I have personally met some spiritual leaders that are very convicted in tithes.
Yeah.
So much so, it blew my mind. Like,
they sacrifice. They would rather give up everything.
They even get their payment, they have already
exactly
paid up their tithes.
They're giving it out.
And kudos to those spiritual
yes,
leaders.
Because they are the ones
the
that truly see. Well, they're the ones that truly see, well, you can give me a little bit here, but I'm going to give you a lot more. Because they think
yes.
it's better to give than to receive. And so they want
to
give, and they give freely. And so those are people that you can flock to. But those who are simply, when they set up their, when they go to their church, the first thing they do is they have a meeting with their finance committee. That's the ones you got to watch.
Yeah.
Because when they're concerned about financing and not concerned about souls, something wrong with the picture.
No. And this last thing I want to really drive home, because it really touches on my own calling here. And I want you guys to understand this, that many of these occults and secret societies are still practicing many of these ancient rituals and
Amen.
Sacrificing children on epic
yes.
levels.
Very.
For power, for greed, for clout.
Vanity.
Which is why, for vanity, all of the things that you just, it's just disgusting to think of, that they would disregard a child's entire life
uh-huh.
and have them tortured to death for this thing they refer to as adrenochrome.
Yeah.
For them to live
the,
longer,
the elixir, you know,
use.
For youth and
know,
vitality. Yeah.
I want you guys to understand, with every blood pumping through my veins, I was called. You know how the Lord says many are called, but few are chosen?
Yep.
I was called and I was chosen to speak on what's happening in these
Beautiful.
Underground basements, in these warehouses,
mm-hmm.
To these children. I've seen it in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
These people do not believe in the Most High God that
mm-hmm.
I serve. But we do. Brother Thomas and I do. And know that our Father God is working through all of his children to
yes.
weed these people out and free all of his children.
Yes.
And so with that said, it is time for all of us wounded warriors who
mm-hmm.
have been attacked for our God giving gifts to see beyond the veil and continue to rise like the sun.
Yep.
And the Son of God.
March
Amen.
Forward, not backward.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Jill, do you have any comments from anybody else from the last podcast, anything?
I did not see any comments come in. I actually know. Someone said for us to continue to spread the good word. And so I took that as encouragement.
I will. I'll take any words we get are words that we didn't know because we didn't hear them. But once again, want to say, you know, one thing we want to say is those that can't give, you know, your comments mean a lot. And if you want to come forward and challenge us, you're welcome to. I am not the authority. I don't even pretend to be. I'm simply an interpretation of what I read in the scripture and try to relate it to what's going on in today's world. And it's really evident that it's there. And we're just simply got our eyes are on it, our focus, laser focused on it. hard, I hate to use that pun, laser focus, but it is the truth. And, you know, we walk in God. We walk with God. And everyone better do that. In this day and time, you better be praying and praying, praying hard, because I'm telling you, this world is fixing to change like it's never changed before, and the Antichrist is here, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and you better be willing to step forward and say, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take your stuff. I'd rather die. Go ahead. Put the sword to me. I don't care. And be willing to do that. Stand your ground. When you do that, guess what? God will reward you in heaven. Is that not the better place? Think of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Heaven's a better place, people, than any riches or glory or accolades or all this crap that these people are doing for the sake of what on this earth. In the end, they're going to not win. God wins in the end. Choose God or die.
Amen. Amen. That's deep. Amen.
It's the truth.
So, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I know we went over time. Thomas, I think we almost hit 3 hours today. Lord, have
mercy. Oh, wow. I've not been paying attention to the phone, so I have no idea.
I definitely understand. I don't know if I'll split this up in a two-part series, but I understand if you listen to half now, listen to half later, share with a friend, because this is information that a lot of people are simply afraid to say. And
well, I'll tell you one thing I've been hearing people about. They don't look at the time, Jewel. Did you know that? They hear the message.
Yeah, well,
they're not focused on
I
the time.
I hope they don't. But as a mom, I do understand that.
I understand.
You know,
and you have to be a pick and choose when you're going to sit down and do it. But when you do,
yeah,
you're going to find that what is covered, it flows, and it there's no stammering, and there's no, you know, doubting what we're saying. I mean, our words are divine. We say a prayer before we ever do the podcast. It's in God's hands. Whatever word comes out of our mouths, God has given us that, you know, devotion, and we are just simply the vessel. And I take no glory in doing any of this. I don't want accolades. I don't want anything. I just want people to wake up, and realize God's the better way. Amen.
Amen, Brother Thomas. So, guys, again, thank you so much for tuning in. We definitely appreciate all of your support. Look
yes.
forward to many of our upcoming podcasts where we're deep diving, and we're not holding anything back.
No,
we're
definitely not.
To share this knowledge, because this is God has given us this platform, this confidence, this truth that's from the source. Directly.
Yeah.
And we ask you to take the information, share it with your loved ones, because this information needs to be disseminated and
yeah.
passed on to future generations so that
Amen.
You can protect yourselves.
Never forget the power of prayer, people. The
Amen.
Power
and,
of
and
prayer.
We love you all. You know, God loves you, and we're here for you. We're here for all of you, and we're
Amen.
Still fighting for this.
And we need your prayers as well, people.
Trafficked.
We're facing these demons every single day.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
never-ending struggle, and it never lets
Please.
Up. And as long as
Please.
Y'all are fighting for us, you're praying for us, it gives us encouragement
yes.
to keep on with a good fight. And that's what we're doing.
Thank you, Thomas, for reminding me, because I don't think I said that in a prior podcast. Please continue to pray for us, because if you think that Satan is pleased with how we're exposing his camp and his religious organizations, we are definitely getting pushback. There's setups all around, I mean, from anywhere from where we reside to our place of work. Just,
yeah.
You know, illegal surveillance tactics, you name it,
energy weapons,
to violate
yeah.
our rights. We do feel it. I want to let you know, we do feel it. We do feel the pushback. It's real. And there's no there's never a justification in Satan's camp as to how or why they get away with the crimes that they do.
And they do.
But as soon as
But there's going to be an ultimate ending. There will be an ultimate ending when all this is said and done, and God comes out and he says, I win.
Yeah.
I win.
Yeah.
And it's the end. Sis boom ba, you know, sa-ra, sa-ra. Mm-hmm.
We have to keep shining that light, because when the light just becomes too bright and overwhelming, they have to flee from us. They don't want to hear them, and they have to make up a reason.
They're like cockroaches, they scatter.
Go just because we can't take the truth. We've been living a lie. And so I encourage you guys, please continue to pray for us so we can continue to stand firm in the Lord's word and righteousness and not waver or not be timid as the enemy tries to take resources from us and make us, you know,
make
make it hard for us. So continue to pray, continue to support the ministry any way you can. I truly appreciate, not just for me, but those that really, really need help right now.
Prayers are very important.
And pray
people
for
that you know, family members that you know that are lost, pray for them. You know, because the power of prayer is amazing, and it might just take a spark, and it turns this person back to the light. You don't know. And so if you know that there's this evilness that you're facing, pray for that person. Pray for the one who's placing that evilness on you. They need salvation. You know?
Yes.
They somewhere down the road, they got twisted. They got twisted directions, you know? And they need to get back on the right track. And so prayer, God can do that. God is limitless. And he can work miracles that we never even thought of. And so if a person has value and it's there but it's deep-seated, pray for that person. Pray that they'll come back to the light. Because you don't want them to burn in the lake of fire. You don't. You want them to be right along beside you in heaven. That's what you really want. You know, it's all said and done. We want all God's children to be in heaven. Amen, amen.
Amen. So, again, thank you all for your support, and we look forward to your feedback and hearing from you in our upcoming podcast. Until we talk again, thank you for joining Can We Talk with Jewel. Thank you, Thomas, for all
Jewel.
Of your insight.
Oh, my God, it was wonderful. I fully enjoyed it. I hope everyone, you know, gets the right message here. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm with you. I'm right along beside you. I'm not above you. Please don't think I am. I'm not trying to be. I'm a humble soul. I'm a simple messenger. That's all I am, with a simple message. That's it. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, guys, and have
Thank
a
you.
Good one.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.